Hey everyone, this is Lady Boss with your Real Talk on radio.dominican.edu. Today, like every week, I've got trending videos, news and gossip, then a hot new sexuality leading into a relationship talk, and we'll probably finish up with some sports updates. I want to kick it off with the trending videos. If you thought you were having a bad day, there's no way it's as bad as the day that an employee in our video had. Security camera footage posted to Reddit shows the interior of a liquor store. An employee appears to be stalking the shelves as customers browse for booze. All of a sudden, the shelves containing what's estimated to be thousands of bottles come crashing down. Before appearing on Reddit, the clip was posted to LiveLeak, a video sharing site where it has been viewed more than a million times. One Redditor commented that the store was able to clean up the mess pretty quickly, but I'm guessing that employee will be taking a little longer than quickly to pay that off. In other news, the internet is a great place to showcase people's oddest talents. For example, the Swedish group The Tumba Ping Pong Show. Since 2012, its channel on YouTube has featured insane ping pong related tricks that leave viewers scratching their heads. One of their latest videos pushes the envelope. This one, involving knife throwing, has people talking and gasping. Now, if you watched this clip and thought, that's unbelievable, you're not alone. Folks on Reddit's video forum are calling the group's bluff. Hundreds of commenters in the forum studied the video frame by frame, trying to dismantle its authenticity. One commenter pointed out that at the 17-second mark, you can already see a knife attached to the girl's paddle, even before the knife reaches it. Another thinks that the trick to achieve the illusion was to layer two videos over each other. Oh, and about that awesome catch of the ping pong ball in the girl's mouth, Reddit detectives claim she spat it out and it was just played in reverse. If, in fact, it is a fake, those are some pretty damn good, amazing video editing skills. Death-defying ping pong awesomeness, or just the group tricking our eyes? You be the judge. Sometimes we take for granted just how intuitive and helpful dogs can be. They serve as guides for the blind, search and rescue officers, bomb detectors, but they're also fiercely loyal to their owners, no matter how young or old. The evidence in recent YouTube video in which a Cocker Spaniel shows that it's more than just a playful pup proves it. On a beach in southwestern Turkey, a woman is throwing a ball for the dog while her child crawls around in the sand. Small children are, of course, artful escapees, and suddenly the child is racing straight toward the ocean. The spaniel drops playing time and immediately races down to the surf and plops in the sand between the child and the waves, drawing the family's attention just as the adventurous youngster is about to hit the water. One commenter wrote, "Face it, dogs are better than humans," and after seeing this video, it's kind of hard to disagree. That's that for the videos of today. As for trending news, the Swales Sisters of Snellville. Ooh, wow, that's a tongue twister. Swales Sisters of Snellville from Georgia all recently got engaged around the same time. The reason that they are getting married on the same day, though, is no coincidence. Their mother, Becky Swales, has been fighting breast cancer for the last 4 years. According to doctors, the fight may be over soon. The cancer has spread to her liver, and she was given the heartbreaking news that she may only live for a few more months. With the help of a very friendly community's donation, including the event venue, the sisters began planning a triple wedding with only 3 weeks to spare, just to make sure that their mother could be there on the big day. All three sisters described their mother as their best friend, so they can't imagine her not being there to see them walk down the aisle. Sarah Swales, one of the sisters, told Fox, "Honestly, this might be one of the last biggest things we get to do with our mom. That's why we want to make it a really great time, so it's something that we'll all remember and be able to look back on and be happy about." The wedding for all three Swales sisters will take place on October 26th. In other news, in the midst of a government shutdown over federal spending, a new $100 bill began circulating Tuesday. At least, we assume it did. The U.S. Treasury, like much of the government, couldn't be reached for comment, and no one is making change with the crisp new $100 this morning. The Series 2009 $100 note is more expensive to print than the last version, 12.6 cents per bill as opposed to 7.8 cents for the older style. But it's designed to be harder to counterfeit and easier to authenticate. The 100 note still features Ben Franklin on the front and Independence Hall on the back, along with more colorful illustrations and hidden texts and pictograms that reveal themselves only under certain conditions. Might feel like a bizarre time to begin printing new, more expensive money, but rest assured that the $100 bill plays an essential role in the U.S. economy. Although most Americans are unlikely to use the new note regularly, if at all, the 100 is by far the largest store value for all circulating U.S. currency. Other news for today, our other trends coming up, we got celebrity gossip, which Keeping Up with the Kardashian couple might be on the rocks always makes for good tabloid fodder. One couple is ready to say they're over, and have been for a while, actually. Kris and Bruce Jenner have confirmed they separated a year ago after 22 years together. In an interview with US Magazine hitting newsstands Friday, Kris Jenner says their scenes together on the show have been genuine and there's no animosity between them. She says they are committed to their family. Her former Olympic champion husband says they'll always love and respect each other. They say no divorce papers have been filed and that Bruce will continue to appear on the family's reality show. Oh, go figure. It's all about the money, money, money. The admission continues, explains why on recent episodes, Bruce Jenner moved out to his beach house, saying he needed more space. The couple's teenage daughters, Kendall and Kylie, were also filmed joining him for the summer because their new house with mom Kris was too crowded after half-sister Kim Kardashian moved in with Kanye West and their new daughter and her ridiculous name. Since Bruce Jenner moved out, he's still featured on the series often. Kris Jenner has taped scenes at his new home, as have the other Kardashian kids. As for Corey Monteith, his Vancouver hotel room was littered with drug paraphernalia when he was found dead from an overdose earlier this year. In addition to the drug gear, a spoon with drug residue and a hypodermic needle, there were two empty champagne bottles, according to a coroner's report released Wednesday. Claire Thompson, a BC coroner, confirmed Wednesday an earlier interim conclusion that the popular Glee actor had died of mixed drug toxicity, involving heroin use combined with alcohol. The death was ruled accidental. Toxicology results indicate the Canadian actor had a moderate level of intoxication from alcohol, as well as traces of metabolite of heroin in his blood. Now, heroin's becoming a big problem. I know in definitely my hometown, it was definitely becoming a trend, and a lot of kids were starting to get into it, and this is just proof that it's out there and it's real, and something needs to be done about it. Anyway, the coroner's report confirmed that Monteith had a history of illicit drug use with intermittent periods of rehabilitation and an abstinence from drugs. The coroner found no injuries on Monteith's body nor evidence of foul play. Monteith, who played football star and singing sensation Fid Hudson on Glee, was recently honored at the Emmy Awards, along with recently deceased actors James Gandolfini of The Sopranos fame and Gene Stapleton of All in the Family. The TV show Glee is expected to mark Corey's death in some way as early as the third episode next week. As for final celebrity news, the Luxor magician headliner Chris Angel, one of my favorite magicians. I love watching magic, and he's actually probably my favorite. Anyway, he attempted a miracle escape that not only has never been accomplished before, but also cost the life of the only escape artist and illusionist brave enough to have tried. Chris was restrained with 8 American lock pads, 10 pounds of chain, Smith & Wesson handcuffs, and leg irons in a transparent casket. Once encased, the casket with Chris was hoisted up and over into an above-ground grave that was transparent on all sides. A casket inside a tomb. The grave was slowly filled with wet cement until Chris was submerged. Time began critically ticking as he endured minimal air and the crushing effect of more than 20,000 pounds of cement drying 360 degrees around him. Chris had to escape before he was buried alive and met the fate of his predecessor. If successful, Chris would emerge from the coffin, crawling out of the top of the above-ground glass tomb. It was history in the making as Chris attempted. Excuse me. It was history in the making, and he was the first to live and tell about it. He said, "This escape was completely a different beast than anything I've ever faced in my career. I must admit that I was scared and underestimated the magnitude. I'm so relieved that it's over. I dedicate it to all those magicians and escape artists who lost their life attempting to do what no one has done. Anyway, that's all of my trends for today on my trending topics. This is Lady Boss with your real talk on radio.dominican.edu. Tune in after the break for this week's sexuality segment on transgender.
All right. Ain't this what you came for? Don't you wish you came more? Girl, what you playing for? Come on, come on, let me kiss that. Ooh, I know you missed that. What's wrong? Let me fix that. Twist that, baby, tonight. No, baby, tonight's the night we lose control. Baby, tonight you need that. Tonight, believe that. Tonight I'll be the best you ever had. I don't wanna brag that I'll be the best you ever had. Till you're blowing cigarette smoke and now the bed's broke. So what we gonna do now? Round two now. Work it out, then we cool down. Cool down. Baby, tonight's the night I let you know. Baby, tonight's the night we lose control.
Knowing me and you got that mental telepathy, meet me up at the spot, I'll be sending over the chauffeur. Rich nigga bread, stay popping up like a toaster. Nobody come close to me and you together. Step under my umbrella, we'll make it through any weather. Except when I make it storm. Sex in the greatest form, then hibernate under my body. And yep, I keep you warm, but in a chinchilla. She know I beat it up like the Thriller in Manila. Flying my private jet to Villas in Anguilla. Then throw you on the grill, that's 'cause 7 days a week you're my 5-course
baby,
meal for real.
Hey, 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 this is Lady Boss again with your real talk. That was John Legend's Tonight. Sorry, excuse me. That was John Legend's Tonight. That's a great song. You can check that out on YouTube. Look it up. Put that on your iTunes. Get it going. We just finished up our trending videos and news. So we're going to move on to our sexuality segment of the week. This week's topic is going to be transgender. Okay, I know this is another difficult topic for a lot of people. It's one of those confusing sexualities it is really hard to understand. So let's just lay out some basic facts. First up, transgender is an umbrella term for persons whose gender identity, gender expression, or behavior does not conform to that typically associated with the sex to which they were assigned at birth. Gender identity refers to a person's internal sense of being male, female, or something else. Gender expression refers to the way a person communicates gender identity to others through behavior, clothing, hairstyles, voice, body characteristics, etc. But furthermore, many transgender people go through a period... go through a period of identity development marked by increases in understanding of one's self-image, self-reflection, and self-expression. More specifically, the degree to which individuals feel genuine, authentic, and comfortable within their external appearance and accept their genuine identity is referred to as transgender congruence. So, transgender does not imply any specific form of sexual orientation. They may identify as heterosexual, homosexual, bisexual, pansexual, polysexual, asexual, anything they wish to. Some may consider even conventional sexual orientation labels inadequate or even inapplicable to them. Trans is sometimes used as shorthand for transgender. While transgender is usually a good term to use, not everyone whose appearance or behavior is in gender non-conforming will identify as a transgender person. The ways that transgender people are talked about in popular culture, academia, science, it's constantly changing, particularly as individuals' awareness, knowledge, and openness about transgender people and their experiences grow. Now, transgender people are not hermaphrodites. Hermaphrodites are intersex from birth, meaning that they were born with both male and female genitalia. Unlike these people, being transgender is a choice. While people self-identify as transgender, the transgender identity umbrella includes sometimes overlapping categories. Now, these categories include six, okay? There's transsexual, transgender, transvestite, genderqueer, androgyne, and bigender. I'm going to get into depth on those in a little bit. But usually not included are transvestic fetishes, because this is considered to be a paraphilia rather than gender identification. Also not included are drag kings and queens that a lot of people get confused. These are performers that cross-dress for the purpose of entertaining. They do not fall under the category transgender. In an interview, celebrity drag queen RuPaul talked about society's ambivalence to the difference in the people who embody these terms. A friend of mine recently did the Oprah show about transgender youth, said RuPaul. It was obvious that we as a culture have a hard time trying to understand the difference between a drag queen, transsexual, and transgender, yet we find it very easy to know the difference between the American Baseball League and the National Baseball League, when they are both so similar. After hearing this, that's when I decided I wanted to take the transgender terms and clarify them. Once again, the six terms are transgender, transsexual, transvestite, genderqueer, androgyne, and bigender. We can start it off with transsexual and transgender. I admit I even didn't know the difference until I did more research on this topic, and I came to find that it's true. Most people do not know the difference between transsexual and transgender. So here it is. Sex is assigned at birth and refers to one's biological status as either male or female. It's associated primarily with physical attributes such as chromosomes, hormone prevalence, and external and internal anatomy. Gender, on the other hand, refers to the socially constructed roles, behaviors, activities, and attributes that a given society considers appropriate for boys and men and girls and women. This influences the way people act, interact, and feel about themselves. While aspects of biological sex are similar across different cultures, aspects of gender may differ. In other words, transsexual can be considered to have already undergone surgery, preparing to undergo surgery, or in the process of taking hormones, while transgenders are simply choosing a different identity for themselves in order to feel more comfortable. So those were those two. Our third one, transvestite. These people, they can be considered a person who cross-dresses or dresses in clothes of the opposite sex. The term transvestite is used as a synonym for the term cross-dresser, although cross-dresser is generally considered the preferred term. Although the term cross-dresser is not exactly defined in the relevant literature, Michael A. Gilbert, professor at York University, offers this definition. A cross-dresser is a person who has an apparent gender identification with one sex and who has and certainly has been birth designated as belonging to that sex, but who wears the clothing of the opposite sex because it is basically the clothing of the opposite sex. This excludes people who wear opposite sex clothing for other reasons, such as female impersonators who look upon dressing as solely connected to their livelihood, actors undertaking roles, individual males and females enjoying a masquerade, and so on. These individuals are cross-dressing, but are not cross-dressers. Cross-dressers may not identify with or even want to be the opposite gender, nor adopt the behaviors or practices of the opposite gender. Generally do not want to change their bodies medically either. Also, the majority of cross-dressers identify as heterosexual. People who cross-dress in public can have a desire to pass as the opposite gender so as not to be detected as a cross-dresser or may be indifferent. As for our fourth, genderqueer is a recent attempt to signify gender experiences that do not fit into binary concepts and refers to a combination of gender identities and sexual orientations. One example could be a person whose gender presentation is sometimes perceived as male, sometimes female, but whose gender identity is female, gender expression is butch, and sexual orientation is lesbian. It suggests non-conformity, or mixing of gender stereotypes. Conjoining both gender and sexuality and challenges existing constructions and identities. In the binary sex gender system, genderqueerness is unintelligible and objected. For the fifth out of sixth term, we have bigender. A bigender individual is one who moves between masculine and feminine gender roles. These individuals move between two distinct personalities fluidly depending on context. While an androgynous person retains the same gender type behavior across situations, the bigendered person consciously or unconsciously changes their gender role behavior from primarily masculine to primarily feminine or vice versa. Finally, for our last category of transgender, there are androgynes. An androgyne is a person who does not fit cleanly into the typical gender roles of their society. It does not imply any specific form of sexual orientation. Androgynes may identify as beyond gender, between gender, moving across genders, entirely genderless, or any of or all of these, exhibiting a variety of male, female, and other characteristics. Androgynes' identities include pangender, ambigender, non-gendered, agendered, gender fluid, or intergendered. Androgyny can be either physical or psychological, and it does not depend on birth sex. Occasionally, people who do not define themselves as androgynes adapt their physical appearance to look androgynous. This outward androgyny has been used in fashion and the milder forms of it. Women wearing men's pants or men wearing two earrings, for example, are not seen as transgender behavior. The term androgyne is also sometimes used as a medical synonym for an intersex individual. So those were the six types of transgender that the category falls into. I actually just recently had a friend come out as transgender. Okay, there are also two different types of transgender. You can come out as FTM, which means female to male, or MTF, which means male to female. My friend is an FTM. She now goes by Brett. You know, and she just constantly talks about her struggle. You know, it's very hard for these people to come out and be comfortable with themselves and want to, they expect people to understand, and most people don't. It's hard for people to understand. And in order for them to come out and be comfortable with themselves, it makes everything so much harder on them. She is currently going through a rehab facility because she's having lots of trouble handling it. And, you know, we have to be open-minded and accept everyone. And transgender is a huge population that's upcoming, and we need to respect it and be open to it. So that's pretty much all I have on sexuality for this week. I hope you guys learned something new from that, and tune in for our next segment after the break. We're going to have relationships. Also, I have a PSA for everyone. Interviewing skills in Skype workshop Wednesday, October 16th from 4:30 p.m. to 5:45 in Guzman Hall in room 201. You can learn various techniques and meet a Skype interviewing expert to ace that interview. This is Real Talk with Lady Boss. You're listening to radio.dominican.edu.
Don't let them tell you any different.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They don't know about us. They don't know about it.
I owe it all to you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They don't know about us. They don't know about it.
And as much as I messed up, always give me your best love.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They don't know about us. They don't know about it.
Sometimes I wonder what I did to deserve you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They don't know about us.
Gon' talk about it, gon' talk about it. Gon' try to change your mind about it. Gon' tell you things you don't wanna hear, but we good. So when they talk about it, they talk about it. Just let them know we already got it. Just tell them that we gon' work at it, we good.
Don't worry about it.
Don't
think they know the truth. Say it so, don't think they know. How could they know? Don't think they know the truth. Say it so.
I bet you love me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They don't know about us. They don't know about it.
Even or at my worst.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They don't know about us. They don't know about it.
And I know that it's different.
Feels like we're best friends. We're connected.
They don't know about us. They don't know about it.
What did it do to deserve you?
Gonna try to change your mind about it. Gonna tell you things you don't wanna hear, but we good. So when they talk about it, they talk about it. Just let them know we already got it. Just tell them that we gon' work at it, we good.
Don't worry about it.
Don't think they know the truth. Say it so, don't think they know. How could they know? Don't think they know the truth. Say it so, don't think they know. How could they know?
They don't know.
How could they know
about you and me?
How could they know?
How could they know?
They don't know about us. They don't know about it.
How could they know?
They don't know about us. They don't know about it.
Thank you for autographs and the cheers over the years. You stood by me. You didn't doubt. Think you want some more? I do more than sing. I'm out now, acting out. Feels like I'm my own movie now. After all the awards that they gave me, you stood by me. You didn't play me. You didn't doubt. Think you want some more? I truly believe that if it wasn't for you, I don't know what I would do.
I'm talking about the truth. Say this out.
Don't think they know.
down. I'm away down. You were the one that was trying to keep me way down. Like the sun, no, you know I'm on my way back.
They tell me I should fix my grill cause I got money now. I ain't gon' sit around in front like I ain't thought about it. A perfect smile is more appealing, but it's funny how this crooked, look at how far I done got without it. I keep my twisted grill just to show the kids it's real. We ain't picture perfect, but we worth the picture still. I got smart, I got rich, and I got still. And they all look like my eyebrows, thick as hell. Love yourself, girl, or nobody will. Though you a woman, I don't know how you deal with all the pressure to look impressive and go out in heels. I feel for you, killing yourself to find a man that'll kill for you. You wake up, put makeup on, stare in the mirror, but it's clear that you can't face what's wrong. No need to fix what God already put his paintbrush on. Your roommate yelling, why you gotta take so long? What it's like to have a crooked smile.
I'm away down. I'm away down.
This crooked smile.
The sun that was trying to keep me way down. Like the sun, no, you know I'm on my way
down. So all the women with the flaws know it's hard, my darling. You wonder why you're lonely and your man's not calling. You keep falling victim cause you're insecure. And when I tell you that you're beautiful, you can't be sure. Cause he don't seem to want you back and it's got you asking. So all you see is what you lack and not what you packing. Take it from a man that loves what you got. And baby girl, you a star, don't let him tell you you're not. Now is it real? Eyebrows, fingernails, hair, is it real? If it's not, girl, you don't care. Cause what's real is something that the eyes can't see, that the hands can't touch, that them bras can't be. And that's you. Never let them see your friend. And if you need a friend to pick you up, I'll be around. And we can ride with the windows down, the music loud. I can tell you ain't laughed in a while, but I wanna see that crooked smile.
I'm away down. I'm away down.
We don't look nothing like the people on the screen. You know the movie stars, picture perfect beauty queens. But we got dreams and we got the right to chase them. Look at the nation, that's a crooked smile. Braces couldn't even straighten. Seem like half the race is either on probation or in jail. Wonder why we inhale, cause we inhale already. I ask if my skin pale, would I then sell like Eminem or Adele? Well, one more time for the veil, and fuck all of that beef. Let's make a meal. Hey officer, man, we don't want nobody getting killed. Just open up that cell, let my brother out of jail. I got money for the bill now, and well now. If you asking, will I tell now? Hey, hell nah, I ain't snitching, cuz man, they get up stitches now. If you was around and you wouldn't need a witness now. How you like this crooked smile?
I'm away down. I'm away down.
That crooked smile.
You're the one that was trying to keep me way down. But like the sun, no, you know I'm coming way back round.
Crooked smile with your style on them. Crooked smile with your style on them.
You were the one that was trying to keep me way down. But like the sun, no, you know I'm coming way back round.
This is Lady Boss once again. This is Real Talk on radio.dominican.edu. I just got done finishing up my sexuality segment with transgenders. We're now going to move on to a relationship segment. So I've got to condense my show a little bit. Me and DJ 9-1 kind of overlapped a little bit. He ran into my show, so I'm just going to make this segment really quick and just going to talk about a couple problems like I did last week. I was relating to my relationship and told you I'm not giving any advice, just throwing my problems out there and seeing maybe if you guys relate. So let's kick this off. Me and my girlfriend, we recently got in the biggest fight of our relationship this past weekend. We have both different goals, okay? Right now, I'm very concentrated on getting done what I need to get done. I'm a Division II basketball player. I am very goal-oriented. I'm planning a future for myself. And I told my girlfriend, you know what? You need to step it up. You need to get along because, yes, she's working two jobs right now. And I totally respect her for that and give her all because she's doing awesome and she's making it all for herself. Like, she's completely on her own. Unlike I am, I still have my help from my parents. And I have a lot going on that's helping me, you know, and she's all on her own. And she's working two jobs right now. But at the same time, she's working her two jobs and coming home and partying and doing whatever the hell she wants. So on weekends, like, yeah, let's party, let's enjoy ourselves, you know, have whatever, a drink or something, and just relax. Yeah, party time. But there are those times where you need to be serious and you need to have goals for yourself. So this weekend, I told her, listen, I'm going places whether you're coming with me or not. You need to step it up. You need to get your life together. Start thinking about what you really want, because all she's doing is paying the bills to get by. All she's working for is to pay the bills. So I basically told her, you know what? You need to step it up. I want you to be in my life. You know, I've been together with this girl for a year and a half. I want her to be part of my life. I want her to be part of my future. But I told her, you know what? I can't bring you along with me if all you're going to do is hold me back. Like, she brings home things that she shouldn't be messing with, and it's a bad influence. And I told her, you know what, I don't want to be around that. And she's like, well, your parents were always so cool with you in high school. You got to do whatever you want. This is my first time away from the house. I want to enjoy myself. I want to party. I want to experiment. And you know what, all for it, go for it. But every day or every couple days, you don't need to be trying something new and doing something crazy. Like, there's no need for it, you know. I understand, like, you want to experiment. Okay, do your experimenting on the weekends. Have your fun. And during the week, get focused. Get done what you need to get done. Start making a goal for yourself. She's not going to school right now either. It really bothers me. I don't know why. Maybe it's because I'm jealous that she doesn't have to go to school. But at the same time, no, I want you to go to school because I want you making a future for yourself, making a future for us together. And I just got really frustrated with her. So I told her, you know what? I don't really know if I want this in the future. I don't know if I want to be with you if you're not going to be able to get your crap together. And so we just had this huge emotional fight about it, and it turned into a huge wreck. So I ended up telling her, listen, we need to make this an open relationship or have no relationship at all, because I feel trapped right now. I feel like I'm wasting my time with you. And it was, as harsh as it may seem, I'm going to look out for myself. I have looked out for my girlfriend for the past year and a half. And I told her, you know what? I'm sorry. I'm done trying to take care of you all the time. I'm going to start looking out for myself now. And I want you to start looking out for yourself by trying to better yourself. So in a way, I was trying to motivate her, but she took it the complete opposite way. She ended up, by the way, we live together. I don't know if you were here last week listening to this conversation about how living together with a significant other is not such a smart idea. You should wait for it. But that is our situation. We do live together. So she took it the completely wrong way. Well, I mean, I guess there's not really any other way to take it. But she took it the worst way possible is what happened. And she called all her friends back in Santa Cruz where she used to live. And the next day I came home and she said, I'm moving out. I can't do this anymore. She said, I'm not going to share you and I'm not going to lose you. And you're basically giving me an ultimatum. She said, I'm leaving. And I was like, whoa, wait a second. I don't want that. I don't want you to leave. Like, I still love the girl, you know? And this was a huge fight. And I don't know if it was so much of a mistake, but I just told her, like, I don't want that, and neither do you. We both know you don't want this. I think you should take a couple days to think about it before you make these moves, because I want you to stay here. I know you don't want to leave. And where are you going to go? Like, I know Santa Cruz wasn't treating her well. She was getting into bad things there. And I didn't want her falling back into that place because she really had stepped it up from then. Anyway, she told me this. The fight happened Friday night. Saturday morning, we talked about it. And she was like, I'm moving. And then in the afternoon, we talked about it. She said, okay, I don't want to move. I don't want to lose you. Let's fix this. So we decided, all right, let's fix it. Later that night, while we were laying in bed, about to fall asleep, she said, I can't believe you said those things to me. I need to move out. And back and forth and back and forth. This happened. This went along until Sunday night. She told me, no, I can't do this, about three times, and then told me, okay, we're going to fix it, about three times. So eventually, I told her, you know what? You need to make a decision for yourself. I can't keep hearing these back and forths. You are just playing with my emotions. I don't want this to happen. You know what? Take a couple days to think about this and let me know what you really want. And this is going to be your final answer. Like, I'm going to stick to this. Like, you need to decide. So I gave her that choice, and she, with no hesitation, told me, okay, we're going to fix this. And that was the last time. And since then, it's been very awkward. And ever since that fight happened on Friday night, when I came home Saturday morning, because I did not stay the night at my apartment where I should have, but I needed time away. I needed to get out of the house. So I left for that night, and I went and hung out with my teammates and just had myself a good night. I just wanted to escape it, and I did. And I released, and I did whatever I felt like doing. Anyway, I came back the next morning and she had accused me of cheating. So after, this was in between all of the back and forth, no, I'm leaving, I'm going home, I'm not, I'm okay, let's work it out. In between all of this, she was accusing me of cheating. She said my lip was black and blue. She said someone had been chewing on my lip and it was not me. Okay, what? Let me tell you this first. Cheating is not something that any long relationship should have. Any relationship at all, actually. I do not believe in cheating. I feel like that is a huge problem throughout relationships. And I really feel like if you are going to cheat on someone, might as well just break up with them. Just let them know right then and there that, hey, I don't want to be with you. I want to see other people. And this is what's going down. I mean, you can't really do much other than that. And if you're going to go behind someone's back, that's just so shady. That's just saying how bad of a person that you can be. And it's just not needed, really. I'm sure the person much rather hear, you know what, I want to see other people, rather than finding out, hey, I hooked up with someone. Like, and to this day, she is still, well, it's only been a couple of days, but to this day, she's still accusing me, oh, I don't know how I can trust you. I really think you hooked up with someone. And so she decided she was going to let her friends kidnap her from Santa Cruz. So her friends kidnap her, and she gets all done up and goes out. And I'm like, okay, you know what? You have your fun. I went out and had my fun. You go have your fun. And now we're both in this situation where when she got home, she reeked of alcohol and we got in another fight over it. I don't want to talk to you. Don't stay in bed. You can leave. And another fight broke out. This whole weekend was just crazy mess. Anyway, we're at this dead standstill right now where we both think we cheated on each other and no one wants to admit anything. And it just seems like both of us are hiding something to each other. And it's just at a completely dead standstill, and it's making our relationship drowned. It's really putting a huge damper on a relationship. And there's really no way to change it. I don't know what else to do. And we're both so stuck. And we just have an awkward vibe between us now. And I've been with this girl for a year and a half, like I said. So it really sucks to have that feeling. So long story short, I've got to cut this down. I'm sorry. Long story short, keep the cheating out of it. Just be honest with each other. And everything will be so much easier. It'll make your relationship so much smoother, and it'll make it last so much longer. This is Lady Boss with your Real Talk. That was our relationship segment. On when we come back, I'm going to have a sports update for you, so tune in for that. Yeah, you're listening to radio.dominican.edu. Thanks for listening.
Spread way too thin. Everybody wants to know what's happening. Our arms spread way too thin. What's the big rush now? Tell me why you're rushing. Our arms spread way too thin. Everybody wants to know what's happening. Our arms spread way too thin. What's the big rush now? Tell me why you're rushing.
That was the Dirty Heads with Spread Too Thin. This is Lady Boss with your Real Talk. I'm about to hit you with a little sports update. So Mark Sanchez's 2013 season is officially over, and most likely so is his Jets career. In an expected and long-awaited move, the Jets announced the 26-year-old quarterback had surgery on his throwing shoulder late Tuesday. The news came only a day after rookie Geno Smith led the Jets to a 30-28 upset in Atlanta on Monday Night Football. Sanchez put off season-ending surgery for several weeks in hopes of rehabilitating the torn labrum in his right shoulder. But despite signs of progress during periodic visits with surgeon James Andrews, he said he was told he couldn't delay the inevitable any longer. After over 7 weeks of hard work and intense rehab, I've been advised by Dr. Andrews and other doctors that my shoulder injury clearly needs to be addressed surgically. Sanchez said in a statement posted to the team's website, the injury was recovering at an encouraging rate early on, and I avoided surgery as long as I could, but ultimately I was counseled by the doctors that they simply would have to repair my shoulder. For the first time since his rookie season, Sanchez arrived for the off-season conditioning program in competition for the starting job. It appeared he was on his way to beating out Smith until he was injured. With a Snoopy trophy at stake August 24th in 3 weeks of the preseason against the Giants, Rex Ryan inexplicably inserted Sanchez early in the fourth quarter behind a makeshift offense line of backups. Sanchez was standing eating sunflower seeds on the sideline with other starters. He had been given no prior indication that he would play in the game. Instead of inserting first-year quarterback Matt Sims, who had been spotted warming up, the Jets tabbed Sanchez to replace Smith, who threw three interceptions in his first start of the preseason. Sanchez was sacked by Giants tackle Marvin Austin on his first play. About 5 minutes later, after completing a 23-yard pass, he was drilled in the right shoulder by Austin. When questioned after the game about playing Sanchez, Ryan said, "That was my decision. That was a coach's decision all the way." Although the Jets were aware Sanchez's wouldn't be healthy enough for week one of the regular season, for weeks they labeled his injury day-to-day. Last month, general manager John Idzik placed Sanchez on injured reserve, with a designation to return to action in 8 weeks. But to the surprise of no one, their day-to-day diagnosis has given way to a season-ending injury and the end of Sanchez's tenure with the team. Throughout this process, our goal has been to provide Mark every opportunity to return this season, Idzik said in a statement. He and our medical staff have worked very diligently to the end, and now it has been concluded that surgery is required. He will have our full support for a complete recovery. Sanchez, AFC Championship game appearances in his first two seasons have long since been overshadowed by his recent struggles, namely his NFL-leading 52 turnovers in 2011 and 2012, and worse yet, his infamous butt fumble last season against the Patriots. And now the former USC quarterback, whom the Jets traded up to the draft fifth overall 4.5 years ago, will likely end up playing days as a Jet with 68 touchdown passes and 69 interceptions. I'm very disappointed that I can't be out there to help my team on the field, but I'll continue to help our team in whatever capacity I can, Sanchez said in a statement. I want to thank Dr. Montgomery, Dr. Andrews, Dr. Burns, and Jets trainer John Melody for helping me through this process and advising me along the way. All the doctors expect a full recovery, and I look forward to getting back on the field. Until then, go Jets. That's it for Sanchez. As for Los Angeles, Juan Uribe hit a go-ahead 2-run homer in the 8th inning after Clayton Kershaw started on short rest for the Dodgers in a 4-3 victory over the Atlanta Braves on Monday night. As you may know, I'm from LA, so I'm a huge Dodgers fan. Let's go, Dodgers! Sending Los Angeles into the National League Championship Series for the first time since 2009. Pug doubled down the right field line, leading off the 8th against losing pitcher David Carpenter. The rookie charged into second base and pumped his right fist in the air in celebration. Fans were on their feet chanting, "Let's go, Dodgers!" when Uribe fouled off two bunt attempts, then sent a 2-2 pitch into the Dodgers' bullpen in left field to put them in front for the second time. Brian Wilson pitched the 8th to get the victory. Kenley Jansen came on in the 9th to earn the save. With Carl Crawford, homered his first two times up for the Dodgers, who lost in 5 games to Philadelphia 4 years ago in the NLCS. The Braves took a 3-2 lead in the 7th on pitch hitter Jose Constanza, RBI single off reliever Ronaldo Belisario. The Dodgers gambled in bringing back Kershaw on 3 days rest for the first time in his career. But with the chance to close out the series, they opted for their ace over schedule starter, Ricky Nolasco. The move paid off when the 2011 Cy Young Award winner tossed 6 solid innings before turning it over to the bullpen. Kershaw squandered a 2-0 lead, giving up 2 unearned runs and 3 hits. He struck out 6 and walked 1 on 91 pitches. With one out in the 7th, Elliot Johnson tripled into the right field corner, sending Pug sliding into the dirt chasing the ball as it caromed off the wall. Costanza, batting for starting pitcher Freddy Garcia, singled into center, scoring Johnson to put the Braves ahead for the first time. Garcia allowed 2 runs and 8 hits in 6 innings. He struck out 6 and walked 2. The Braves tied it 2-2 in the 4th when the Dodgers' defense faltered. Chris Johnson's RBI single scored Freddie Freeman, who singled leading off, went to second on first baseman Adrian Gonzalez, throwing error and advanced to third on a wild pitch by Kershaw. Simons grounded into a fielder's choice to third in what should have been an inning-ending double play, but second baseman Mark Ellis' throw to Gonzalez went wide and Evan Gattis scored from third. Crawford's second homer of the game came in the third, landing deep in the lower right field seats for a 2-0 lead. Crawford led off the first with a towering home run to the right field's pavilion. Smiling broadly as the Dodgers took a 1-0 lead, his three-run shot and Irby's two-run drive were a big part of their 13-6 victory in Game 3 on Sunday. The sellout crowd of 54,000-plus grew rowdy with Kershaw's first pitch, quickly getting on its feet to urge him on after Gonzalez's fielding error led to the left-hander's first base runner. Kershaw responded by retiring the next three batters in a row to end the first. Yeah, Dodgers, good job. As for last week, I had the NFL power rankings for you, so I'm going to hit you with that update on week 6. The last time Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints started 5-0 was during the 2009 NFL season. In 2013 at 5-0, the Saints should feel confident about their chances at getting a shot at that exclusive second ring. Yes, yeah, Saints, they're my favorite. Going into week 6 of the season, they have emerged as the NFC favorites, which would put them in line to face off with Manning's Denver Broncos in Super Bowl 48. They just threw down the Soldier Field monkey with an impressive 26-18 win at Chicago. And it's hard to tell what's more impressive, their number 4 total offense or number 4 scoring defense. The Saints are worthy of marching to the top as a legitimate threat to win it all again. In the number 2 spot, we have Denver. The Broncos remain in the same position they have been all season, despite their narrow 51-48 shootout escape from Dallas. Tony Romo tried his best, but still couldn't quite outscore a Peyton Manning lead attack. Their defense has some issues they need to clean up, and the imminent return of linebacker Von Miller will help. They're just not quite as complete as the Saints yet, though. Number 3, the Seattle Seahawks at 4-1. Last week, the Seahawks got clipped for the first time in a wild one in Indianapolis. But Russell Wilson proved he could go toe-to-toe with Andrew Luck, and it was inevitable the road would catch up with Seattle. They need to go back to putting up their dominant victories both at home and against NFC foes. As for number 4, joining the Broncos and Saints at 5-0, Kansas City. The Chiefs are methodical and predictable, with big plays on defense and on special teams, while using steady ball control on offense. That should keep working most weeks against a weak schedule. It would be nice if they could show a little more firepower beyond Jamal Charles, though. They'll definitely need it to win games later in the season. In the final spot, number 5, the Colts. Indianapolis had their second statement win against the NFC power, beating Seattle just a few weeks after ripping into San Francisco. Keep giving Andrew Luck a lot more help with timely defense and special teams. They are learning how to beat opponents in several ways. That's it for our Power Hour. I am done for today. I'm sorry we ran a little bit over. Next week, I will be on from 3 to 4. That's Real Talk, Wednesdays 3 to 4. Make sure you tune in for that. We'll have all of our same segments again. And thank you for listening. You're listening to radio.dominican.edu.